This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. We're cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. The sun is out for right now. Hopefully you're out enjoying the weekend. Might get some rain later this afternoon or tonight. We'll check that out. We're trying to make connections with Aaron Torres. Covers a lot of college basketball and college football. He's got my Way Too Early Top 25 for college basketball out. And you can find that at KentuckySports.com. So Aaron's going to join us. I thought I still had to remind myself of how many coaching changes there have been in college basketball over the past few months until I was reading Aaron's story, which is one of the reasons we wanted him on the show, plus, you know, all the good stuff about the FBI and the NCAA investigations and the shoe companies, and on and on and on and on. But the top 25 is probably the more interesting things. The other stuff has been talked about a lot. But it's just a little reminder of where everybody's moved. So Mick Cronin left Cincinnati for UCLA after UCLA whiffed on John Calipari. John Boeheim left Michigan for the NBA, replaced by Juwan Howard. Sean Miller got to keep his job, and so did Will Wade, despite FBI investigations in which they were allegedly recorded basically saying they were paying players or offering players. So that's all kinds of stuff. Also, with the players, well, with the one recruit that Kansas was going after deciding to go play for a New Zealand team in Australia, Aaron Torres has some thoughts and opinions about that program. In particular, the program in that country. So we may or may not get Aaron on the show. So we'll just kick around some of the things he wrote about. Just lost my one spot. Okay. So he's got his My Way Too Early Top 25. And as I said earlier in the show, these things are generally an exercise. It's all on paper. Nobody's really saying this is how the season is going to end. But it's interesting. And it's interesting to discuss it, because whenever you're a list, you can kick those around. So for Aaron Torres, his preseason or Way Too Early Top 25, number one is Michigan State. I think everybody's got Michigan State, right? I don't think I've seen an early Top 25 in which Michigan State is not number one, general consensus. Number two is Kentucky, no surprise. Number three is Duke, despite all the players they're going to lose in the draft. Number four is Louisville. Can't believe that program was able to survive what it survived. And
Chris Mack has done a very fine job.
Chris Mack is a really good coach. Made the right call on that one. So Louisville at four. Maryland is five. Mark Turgeon, former Kansas Jayhawk. And that's where we find Kansas. At number six, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, it might be a little bit high. But Aaron looked through, and after some of the players made their decisions about whether or not they were going to the draft, whether or not they were going to transfer, got all that stuff, and I'm sure that played into his decision. I probably would have had Kansas as somewhere closer to 10, but six is not out of bounds at all. So your returning players are Devon Dotson, Silvio De Souza, NCAA, reinstated, Yudoka Azubuike, Agbaji coming back. Who would have thought he'd be a critical player coming back? Marcus Garrett coming back, Mitch Lightfoot, and David McCormick. David McCormick can give you 3 minutes a night, he can give you 12 minutes a night, and you never know what you're going to see in those 3 to 10, 12 minutes. You just don't. You might see 5 rebounds and 3 points. You might see 1 rebound and 8, 9 points. Or you might not even play. There were times where that happened too.
It's going to be crazy this college basketball season. I mean, if you think about it, even with losing out on some big-time recruits as Kansas did, they re-recruited their team. They're getting guys back.
Right.
Dotson, DeSouza.
The head scratcher for me is Quentin Grimes. If you're deciding to not go to the NBA and you're at a program like Kansas, why do you go into the transfer portal? I'm just going to guess he didn't fit in, didn't like the experience. You know, he took a lot of the heat because of his inconsistency throughout the course of the season. I can get how that weighs on guys a little bit. I just thought it was weird that in a program like Kansas, you would decide to test the waters of the NBA. Then maybe your report came back that you're at best a mid-second round, late second round. I don't know where he would have been pegged. I know if he would have gone straight out of high school, he'd have probably been a lottery pick. But to then come back and decide to go into the transfer portal, that's a little weird to me. I'm guessing this was just a bad fit. Whether it was the coach, whether he just was disappointed in his own performance and inconsistency and thought he needed a little bit of a different look, needed a fresh start. That happens to guys. It struck me as kind of weird. All right, joining us on the line right now is former weekend producer, now producer of the program, weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sports Radio 18, WHB, Jed Marshall. I was trying to run WHB and Jed Marshall all together, and it didn't work out for me, Jed.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate the excellent intro. You just got to slow down in the radio business.
Yes. I have to be reminded of that many times because I don't have the deepest voice in the world, and I tend to get tongue-tied when I start talking too fast. So always good to have a reminder. Okay.
Yes. So anyways, I was texting with Bolig. It seems like you might have some trouble tracking down Aaron Torres. So I said, if you wanted me to talk some college basketball, I'd be happy to. It was something we talked about a lot in the program.
Sure. The pop-in guest is always welcome, and especially if it's you. You're always welcome on this show. Yeah, Aaron Torres lives, in Kentucky? So maybe
no, he's I think he's based out of the West Coast.
West Coast, so maybe he got his times confused.
Yeah. I said Central Standard Time.
Okay.
So CST. Is that confusing if you say CST, like 11 a.m.
Not
CST?
Not to me, but...
But we'll see. It's all good.
So, Jed, I was talking about Quentin Grimes deciding to not go to the NBA, but then go to the transfer portal, and that struck me as a little bit weird. And I guess if I just have to read the tea leaves, I'm just guessing it wasn't the right fit. Whether it was the coach or the coaching staff or Kansas, or he just had so many struggles with his inconsistency that he just thought he needed a fresh start somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that we've talked about quite a bit on the program. You know, even Coach Self, I think, would admit that he hasn't done the best job developing the one-and-done, cultivating, for whatever reason, the one-and-done type point guard. It's one of the things that he struggles with. And I know that people would say, well, look at what Frank Mason and Devontae Graham became. But, yes, those were, you know, 3-4-year players and older guys who developed over time. But even if you look back at the recruiting pattern, he missed on John Wall and Derrick Rose. You can go down the list of guys that it doesn't really ever seem like he's gotten the top guy. And when he has, even when he had like Josh Selby, who I don't think ended up becoming, you know, the number one for a lot of different reasons.
I think
his athleticism set him back. But still, it's one of those things where Coach Self needs to kind of look in the mirror and maybe tweak what he's doing. But as far as Kansas as a whole, I think that they're in great shape as getting Devon Dotson back. And maybe for Quentin Grimes, it's one of those things. He's a Texas kid from the Woodlands, which is right outside Houston. Maybe it was, you know, just too much being away from that. And we were speculating about different places he might go. If he's able to transfer, why not Houston?
Yep, Kelvin Sampson, yeah. Is that a lot?
I mean, and plus, they've been a good program, like you said, Kelvin Sampson, right there. And you're playing basically in your hometown, mm-hmm. Get back to your roots. To me, that seems like too easy of a fit. We'll have to obviously see what happens. But to me, I think that's where I speculate he goes.
I had a chance to cover the NCAA tournament at Sprint Center along with Todd Lebo, and Houston was one of the teams who was here, and I've covered Kelvin Sampson when he was at Oklahoma many years ago, and they've got Houston's got not only a good program, they got a loaded coaching staff. They got young guys. I think there's a couple of guys that used to play for Kelvin Sampson at Oklahoma. So they've got a good staff and just a good program. And it's big enough to where you're playing major Division I college basketball, but you're also not under the white hot spotlight of a Kansas, a Kentucky, a Duke, and a North Carolina.
And to be able to run roughshod over your conference, but still get, you know, go up against Cincinnati and stuff like that.
Right.
But think about the talent base that you have. I mean, you're talking about the fourth biggest city in the United States. How many kids? You don't even have to go out of your backyard to try and recruit kids.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Jed Marshall here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. So we were looking at Aaron Torres, what he's labeled my two early top 25, and every news outlet does this, and they're interesting to read. No real surprises here. Kansas at 6. I probably would have guessed them to be more in the 9, 10, 11 range, but 6 sounds about right when you consider everybody they got coming back and Sylvia DeSouza being reinstated, and I'm really surprised Udoka didn't even try the NBA route, but considering what they got coming back, Jed, I agree with you. It's a deep team, and I think I'm good with them being at number 6.
I think 6 is a little high. I have two different ones in front of me. Rob Dotter of NBC Sports, this was with Quentin Grimes coming back, had them at 7. And Gary Parrish, after all of the transfer portal news and everybody being announced, has Kansas at 12. I think that's a little bit more fair, and obviously I'm biased to what Gary has to say, but he's so well-connected with what all goes on. I think the big concern if you're a Kansas fan is that you look at the roster, where's the three-point shooting coming from? So much of the game is translated, and Curtis and I were talking about this. In the NCAA tournament last season, you saw it against Auburn. How much of a difference did that make? The year prior against Villanova in the Final Four game, they got crushed because Villanova was hitting threes. You're seeing it in the NBA game in a lot of different ways. So, to me, I still look at the roster, and yeah, you have good depth in the front court. I think McCormack is a year older, and Doak and Silvio DeSouza, you kind of have an idea of what they're going to be, plus another year. So you have to be excited there. You like Dotson coming back. He's going to get better. Ochai Agbaji is a person I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting about, but after a quick start and pulling off the red shirt, people were talking about him possibly being a lottery pick this upcoming year. You know, he regressed a little bit, like most freshmen do, but there is a lot to be excited about. I just don't know where the three-point shooting will come from.
Yes, and I was also thinking about the class coming in when I was reading Aaron Torres' stuff. He's not a fan of this New Zealand Breakers team that is trying to poke. He's not a fan, and they... By the way, it's the New Zealand Breakers, but they play in Australia, right? It's the Australian League. I don't have a problem with it. Go make a little bit of money. I don't think it's going to be what you think it's going to be. If you're a kid like RJ Hampton, I just don't think it's going to be all that. I'm not sure what their talent level is, but if you really don't want to play college basketball, he said, I had no interest in playing college basketball. Then go do it. And the NBA, I believe I heard Adam Silver. Yeah.
I almost
called him David Silver. That's an old Beverly Hills 90210 reference. But Adam Silver was talking this week, and he's pretty frank and open about things in the NBA. And he said, well, we have to wait for 2022. So this is going to be happening. I don't know if it's going to be a flood of players, but I think you'll see it more over the next 3 years until the NBA decides to amend their rule.
And I think you will see more and more of it. We were looking at some of the different numbers, and some of the better success stories are Brandon Jennings, who was, you know, like a almost 20-point-a-game scorer 1 year. I think he averaged close to 17 or 16 with his time with the Bucks, and ended up having like an 11-year career. But, you know, and then you have Emmanuel Mudiay as well, who's still in the league and is like a 15-4 guy. You know, I mean, they're nice NBA players. I think what RJ Hampton said, though, is quite telling. I never dreamed of playing college basketball. I want to be a professional basketball player. This gives me an opportunity to go and hone my profession, my skill. I recognize that my earning time is finite, and I want to go and prove that I'm the best. You compete against the best. Unfortunately, whether you want to argue that's college basketball and playing at Kansas or at Duke or at Kentucky against other guys who are really, really good, or going and competing against grown men in a foreign league. I'm no expert on what the Australian Basketball League is, but I do think that there is something to be said going against a 27-year-old man and trying to test yourself when you're an 18-year-old kid. So to me, I completely respect his decision. I think that this conversation is one of those things where everybody's ingrained to a certain level on a side. Whatever people want to decide, whether they think it's good for college basketball or bad for college basketball, ultimately, the end of the discussion comes with, why is it that in certain professions we set age restrictions? When I got into radio, I could have gotten into the business like Jason Justice at age, I think he was doing stuff at age like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. You know, like his high school didn't kick him out. His colleague went on to the Drake, still able to, you know, pursue his degree and whatnot. I don't understand why basketball, football, why we sit here and just want to stick our head in the sand. Let people go do what they want to do. If you're gifted at something, you should be able to apply your craft.
I agree with that 100%. I got into radio very, very early on in my career, and I'm glad there was not an age restriction. But here's the you're going to get this as part of the discussion. College basketball is going to suffer because all these guys are either going to go to the NBA or the G League, and it's not going to work out for all of them. It's not a panacea. It's not, you know, it's not the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that some kids think it's going to be. But whether or not college basketball loses that top level of talent, everybody is still going to be relatively equal. If you're one of the top tier teams like Kansas and Duke and North Carolina, and let's throw in Villanova and Kentucky, and maybe Memphis gets to that level sometime soon, and Michigan and Michigan State, those teams, if they don't get those top guys because they want to go to the NBA or the G League, they're still going to be at the same level with the other schools.
And that's the argument that I've never understood. College basketball won't suffer. Will the product are enough of our listeners or even people in the media trained well enough to scout all of the best players and say that, wow, no, that guy's an edge, like the difference between a top 10 player versus a top 20 player. So let's say you take the top 20 players out of college basketball. And so then everything just kind of trickles down. Now, the 20th guy is rated number one in guys going to college. Are we going to be able to discern the difference in that guy's game? Be like, wow, this product is now ruined. I'm sitting here watching
no
amateur athletics. I mean, Brad, and I don't mean this as a slight, UMKC is a fine academic school and, you know, a Division I basketball team. When you go and watch those games, are you sitting there being like, wow, these guys are the worst? Or are you like, wow, these are D1 athletes playing basketball? It's, to me, one of those things, it's the difference between what the game will become isn't going to be that drastic.
Yeah. Well, and UMKC, for folks that don't know, I'm a huge UMKC fan. I went there. You know, Stephen St. John is a huge fan. I was not a fan of the previous coach. I am a fan of the coach they're bringing in. But when I go to a game, what stands out when you go to either a UMKC or a school on that level, what stands out is you don't have the athletic 6'9", 6'10 guys. Those guys are your centers. You don't have 7-footers. You have more natural positions because they're just not as athletic. But it's good. They're good athletes. I like watching. I enjoy watching Kangaroos basketball, even when they're not playing well. And I think this new coach is going to bring it in and take this program, I don't want to use the term like the next level, but get them close, as close to the tournament as they've been since Rich Zavosic was the head coach. And I love Rich Zavosic, but that team got so close. Bob Sundvold got them so close. I think this coach can try to get them back in it. Now, they're in a bad conference. They're in a conference they should not be in. One, it's not interesting. And two, they got a team that dominates every year. They needed to be... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say years ago, it should have been the Missouri Valley is where they should have gone, but I digress.
No, and sadly, I didn't realize we were going to go down the Ruse Road.
No,
yeah, I think Billy Donlin is a great hire. And if you hear him speak, and fortunately
he's awesome.
he goes on the Border Patrol and is really great on there. And man, if you're a kid who can't play Kansas or whatever, why wouldn't you want to go play there? But yeah, the Ruse unfortunately have the curse of playing in the WAC, where you have New Mexico State.
Right.
I mean, they
dominate.
Move out of that conference.
Right.
And then you have Grand Canyon, who also has a former NBA coach, and their atmosphere and, you know, a bunch of money funneled into the school. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for the Ruse, but, yeah, I didn't think we were going to go that
way. No, that's all right. Hey, sometimes it just goes that way. That's fine. We're speaking with Jed Marshall. He produces the program with Seren Petro weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm looking back again at this way too early top 25. We mentioned Kansas at 6. Right behind is Texas Tech at 7. And, of course, they lose Jarrett Culver. He could be a top 5 pick in the NBA draft coming up. I wonder if this will be a year where Chris Beard gets tested a little bit more, because he's had a rousing success. I love what Chris Beard has been doing. But now, you know, when you start losing NBA talent, that becomes a different story. We'll have to see what his recruits look like when they actually start playing. But I think it'll be an interesting way to look, an interesting year for Texas Tech and what we're going to see.
Yeah, and to be coming off the national championship game where they arguably, you know, could have won. But, with Chris Beard, the thing is that you talk about the NBA talent. He isn't getting top 10 guys. What he's
nope.
doing is finding diamonds in the rough and developing them. So, to me, that's where I'm much more bullish on Chris Beard being able to sustain this. If I'm Texas Tech, I still worry. I know that he's fine, but I still worry about a bigger job coming along. Maybe he's happy there, but I like what Texas Tech has to do. To me, it's like you said, we'll have to be patient and wait and see. But a one-year somewhat regression, I still wouldn't be panicked, would you?
No, not at all. If you were not a good coach, then yes, I would panic a little bit. But Chris Beard's a really good coach, and he's I know he signed his contract extension, but you know he's going to have some bigger schools coming after him at some point. What if Shaka Smart left Texas?
Right, yeah, he's an alum of Texas. That was one of the things that I was getting to. Shaka Smart's clearly in panic mode. He brought in Luke Jaklich, I believe is his name, who
yep.
was a lead assistant at the University of Michigan and was, by all reports, the runner-up to Juwan Howard getting the job. So the timetable for Shaka Smart is very short. And if I'm Texas Tech and Chris Beard, I'm certainly eyeing that job. And again, I know that he signed an extension, but man, Austin, you and Chris were talking about it earlier in the show. I think Austin versus Lubbock, Texas, I might pick Austin.
Exactly. All right, Jed, you mentioned Michigan. I know you're a huge Michigan fan. Every Saturday, got the football games on and the basketball games on in here. So,
go blue.
The rumors that Juwan Howard was going to get the Michigan job were rolling for days before the announcement was made. I guess I'm not all that surprised by it with all of his ties, and he's been an assistant for many years. On the surface, to me, it doesn't make sense, and I think it's going to fail spectacularly.
I'm glad you and I have the same opinion.
Okay.
I saw a tweet. I think it might have been from Riley Gates, one of the friends of the the show. But he was talking about Juwan Howard was a fine NBA player and
right.
then became an assistant coach for the Miami Heat and basically sat on a team bench that got worse each year. So I don't know how that makes him qualified to become a Division I major Power 5 college coach. And I was overwhelmed when I saw how touched he was and how much the program does mean to him
mm-hmm.
at his introductory press conference. And I do think that he'll be able to sell the excitement of playing at Michigan and look at what me and my brothers were able to do with the Fab Five, and hopefully it creates more cohesion and puts all of that to rest in the past. But at the same time, I don't know beyond that. And it's one of the things why I'm a little bit less bullish on Memphis. I know Penny Hardaway can get a ton of talent. I don't know whether he can coach. So at both of those programs, I'm very apprehensive about. Maybe I'll be proved a fool. And Juwan Howard and Penny Hardaway are going to be playing in national championship games for years to come. But on both fronts, I'm a little bit less bullish.
Well, and Aaron Torres, way too early, top 25. He's got Memphis slotted at number 10. So he's a little more.
Everybody's had Memphis right around, you know, I've seen some as high as 4 and some, but more like the 9-10 range. But they're just going to have so much talent. But again, having it basically AAU coach who was able to get all of these players through whatever means they are going to that university. I'm not taking anything away from Penny Hardaway, but trying to get it to gel, and man, I just think that's going to be a tough kid.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jed Marshall here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. A couple of more things here before we wrap up. I'm still scratching my head, and Aaron Torres wrote about it too. The whole Will Wade this past week. All right, so he's on tape.
I love it.
The FBI saying, we made him a strong-ass offer. We're all assuming he's talking money, right? Not just a scholarship. And then he has this press conference down at the SEC Media Days, and he's asked about it. And he says, well, I don't really want to get into it. I met with our administrators and with the NCAA, and I was reinstated. I'm like, okay, that really didn't answer. And so he was pressed further on, what did you mean by strong-ass offer? And he goes, well, I can't really get into that. So basically, he didn't answer the question. And that doesn't mean he's exonerated at all. The NCAA is not done yet. The FBI had their court case with Adidas. I get that. The NCAA is not done with this yet. I just don't know what the hell's going on at LSU where they run their AD out and keep the coach who's caught on tape saying they made a strong-ass offer to a basketball player.
I like the fact that he didn't remember saying it in the report. It's on tape. And he's like, well, I haven't listened to the tape.
He said
nothing. But LSU might be in a position where until they're forced into a position where they can fire him with cause, possibly they don't have the buyout money. I mean, LSU, I think it's great that they have their basketball up and running and they're trying to compete in the SEC. I know that baseball is also really important down there. Football is always going to be king.
Right.
And maybe they don't have the $8 million money available right now to try and fire him without cause. There's plenty of smoke. Don't get me wrong. And I think ultimately, well, I guess I can't even say that because heretofore, we're just seeing a whole bunch of middlemen get arrested.
It's the assistant coaches.
To me, this cosmic shift that's been coming in basketball is an absolute farce. To me, it's the most overhyped and under-delivered story I can remember. It's basically, I always refer back to, I saw the movie Blue Chips.
Oh, yeah.
When I was 10 years old. That movie came out in 1993.
Wow.
So if you weren't aware of what was happening, I don't mean this like derogatorily, but you're a fool. Like, what is the matter with you? So, again, we're not seeing any coaches being fired. Why is Sean Miller getting the number one recruiting class? Why does Will Wade have a job?
I thought Sean Miller was done when he gave his...
Still on the Kansas staff. Why are there... I mean, you can go around the nation and be like, all right, so Rick Pitino lost his job. But I think that was
a number of reasons.
It was a multitude of sins.
Right.
He needed to go. They needed to cleanse that. But even Louisville, look at that. They have their number 4.
Right.
So how much were they really penalized?
I don't know. And Sean Miller had basically given his goodbye speech in that last home game at Arizona. Yeah. I always loved it here. You referred to it in the past tense. And then maybe he's looking around, and maybe these coaches are talking to each other saying, you know, is your AD doing anything? Has the NCAA said anything yet? Is the FBI asking you this, that, and the other thing? And maybe they're all just saying, screw it. I'm staying until they drag me out of here.
And who even knows? Based off the slow drip that we've had, this could be 5-6 years down the road where any of these things come in. Coach K, if they're going to try and implicate him, he's in his 70s. If something comes for him, he's like, 5 years later, he's like, well, I'm just going to retire.
Yeah.
Roy Williams, I'm in my 80s. I'm going to sit on my porch and have a Coke. retire. You know, like all of these guys, you need to get moving if you want to try and clean up college basketball and actually make this be like a big deal. To me, it's been, like I said, overpromised, super underdelivered.
Right. We're speaking with Jed Marshall here on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I got one more thing that has nothing to do with the too early top 25 basketball poll and all the coaches. The SEC this week decided that they will allow alcohol sales in the stadiums. And some schools are saying, yes, we're in on that. Some schools are saying, no, only for the big donors. And some schools are saying, no, not yet. Here's one of the things, I've always said this about, there are certain things that are inevitable. College sports was going to do this because of what? Money. They want more money. Alcohol sales are going to generate a lot of money. The NCAA is going to get to a point where they're going to have to deal with sports gambling when it starts getting more and more widespread. Why will they do that? For money. Now, I don't have a problem if somebody wants to go have a brewski at a football game. That's fine. I really don't at stadiums anymore because it's too expensive, but I'm not sure it's the best idea to just have it stadium-wide. I just don't. I'd have to think about it for a bit, but on the surface, I'm not really sure it's the greatest idea.
How could it be any worse than what goes on at NFL games?
True. The fact that I guess it's on a college campus?
Sure. I mean, I just think back to my years when
I was in
school. And trust me, it didn't stop me any. So I know that the argument would be it's there are more families and it's bringing you know your kids back to the old alma mater. I think that there are plenty of college kids and adults who are already pretty boozed up heading into games.
Yes,
and they find one way or another to enjoy a libation in the game. Currently, I don't think it'll change all that much. I mean, why don't we hear more reports and see the TMZ videos of college fan fights every weekend like we
true.
Do up in the upper rafters of the NFL games? So to me, if we're looking at the issue one, you know, through one actual prism, I guess, I still feel like it's going to be a safer environment than an NFL game. My nephews are 9. I'd never take them to a Chiefs game. I wouldn't mind taking them down, you know, to the Hill in Lawrence and throwing around the football and taking them into the game. I would have no fear of them being harmed.
No,
they might hear something I don't want them to.
Right.
But I'm sure at the end of the day, they'd be like, man, I've heard that before.
Yeah, my kids were much younger. I took them to a Chiefs-Packers preseason game, but I would never take them to a regular season game until they got a little bit older. Jed Marshall, one more thing on that note, and Chris Bullig reminded me of this. The NCAA, as well as other sports, are all dealing with attendance decline. I mean, unless you're Kansas basketball and you're packing 17,000 in a night, that's great. But across college football, attendance has been in decline. Now, I think there's a number of reasons for it. I think the fact that you have four-hour ball games isn't the best idea. 4 and 4.5 hours. I can't take it. I cannot watch a college football game for 4 and 4.5 hours. I don't. It's mind-numbing, but maybe that's part of the justification for allowing alcohol sales into these games.
It would generate a lot more revenue for the universities and things of that nature. But, yeah, to my mind, just what you said, the game can't be 4.5 hours. Why do they stop the clock after every first down?
That's got to stop.
It's one of those things where I'm with you. I love the pageantry of college football, but unless it's the fourth quarter, I'm not tuning in. You know, like
right.
I watch my teams, but it's so hard to just be like, oh, USC and Oregon are playing. That'll be a fun game. I'll tune in here in 3 hours.
Right.
Because I can't watch. I don't have that kind of time.
All right, Jed, final question, non-football, non-basketball related. I know you are a huge soccer fan, as am I. Today's Champions League final at 2 o'clock. My Liverpool side versus Tottenham, and I know you're a Chelsea guy, so you don't have a stake in this, but do you have a prediction?
I think Liverpool is going to be too much, and it pains me to say because I unfortunately am cheering for no one. I guess, Brad, because I've worked with you for so long, I want you to win less, and I like Andy Edwards slightly better, so I'll cheer for Tottenham as much as it pains me to say.
I can totally buy your justification on that. I should have texted Andy and put a sawbuck on this game. Maybe I'll do that after the show.
Yeah, man. I think Chris Bolig might be meeting up to watch the game. So if you want to join, let us know.
Okay, fantastic. Jed, hey, thank you very much. Appreciate you jumping in.
Yep, be well.
All right, that is Jed Marshall, producer of the program, weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, we're coming up on a timeout. We went a little bit long there. This is Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Just wrapped up with Jed Marshall. We were scheduled to have Aaron Torres on the show, and he lives out in California and may have gotten his times confused. Because he did call in, right? He said he just forgot.
He texted me. Okay. It's all good, though.
So he's good. We'll have him on next week?
Well, yeah, we'll probably have him. I was thinking tomorrow, but we have booked all of the guests for tomorrow.
Yes.
So we will not be able to have him on tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'll see if he can make it on next week, because I really enjoy his stuff. So
absolutely.
We'll try to get him on next week.
Right. We were speaking with Jed there about the SEC now saying that they will allow alcohol sales at the sporting events, and some of the schools are jumping on board. Some of the schools are taking a wait-and-see approach, and some of the schools are saying no. It's kind of – I check the – they keep posting a list, a new one, just about every day of who's going to jump in and who's not. You type in SEC into Google, and SEC alcohol is the number one thing that comes up.
Big topic. Big topic in the Southeast right now. I'm sure all the Alabama local stations are going nuts.
I think Alabama's on the list for a no right now.
Oh, wow.
Hang on, Lewis. Oh, I just... Well, see, the story said it was going to have a list, and it doesn't. Gosh darn it. Because I've seen the list of which schools are in and which schools are out. I'll find it. But, yeah, some schools are going to be totally down, like, immediately, and some schools are just... Not. See, it's just, I'm not gonna find that list.
But, I mean, I think to what Jed was talking about and you guys were talking about, I don't see, when I went at TCU, or at most stadiums in the press box, or not press box, but in the suites. Everything, they are carting up
right.
Crown Royal
and
all the nicest alcohols. So you're going to allow, I mean, I guess since they are paying more, the schools will treat them better because they're giving them tons of money.
Right.
And I think this is a bigger issue in terms of, I really think with the decline of attendance at games and what have you, and fans being interested in other things, especially students who maybe want to watch more games at home or just stay at tailgates the whole time, this gives them incentive to go into the games and stay. A lot of fans, students, just go because it's a party.
Right.
Going to the tailgates, the ambiance, college football, it's not as much for the game anymore. It's more about the experience. And if you're serving alcohol in stands, I think more people will be inclined to stay at the games through halftime or whatnot.
I could see that. Because I know it many years ago, gosh, this was a long time ago, I went to a game at Mizzou just as a fan. I wasn't covering anything. And I stopped at a tailgate outside, and people were having some cold ones. And then you sneak into the stadium with your flask, and then everybody ran back out at halftime and hit it again, and then went back in for the second half. Now, I don't think they allow them to do that. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. I may be wrong. But I know, like, we were talking about UMKC earlier, right? So when they have when there were games at Municipal Auditorium, they had their you could buy beer because it was not a campus site. They had their Rue Club for the big supporters. And now that they're back on campus, they just do it in another building that's next to the gymnasium for their bigger supporters. So still find a way. And like I said, this is the same thing is going to happen with gambling.
Yeah.
Because it's money.
And games are longer than they've ever been. Advertising, commercial breaks.
That's the thing about going in person versus...
Especially games in the southeast and south in September, and you're playing at 11 o'clock, 95 degrees, the sun's beating down on you. People get exhausted. Some people even get dehydrated, and that's to your point where alcohol could be a danger to some fans if they do sell it in these very warm environment places, especially early in the season. You might see things like that happen where you're seeing fans getting super, super sick from drinking in the stadium while it's a 95 degree day at like 1 o'clock in Texas or in the southeast.
For me, the big issue is the 3.5 to 4.5 to 5 hour games in terms of attendance. I'm just not doing it. When I had to cover Kansas football, I like everybody over at KU, but you get into that fourth quarter and you're like, my God, this is never going to end. And when you're in the stadium, you don't get the commercials. You're not getting up like you do at home. You can't do something else while you're there, like look up stuff on your laptop. I'm sure you could, but it became excruciating after a while to where I kind of dreaded it. So if they can saw that down, don't stop the clock after every first down, shorten the play clock. Let's get this game moving for crying out. Let's not review every single play. Every single play. All right, we're coming up on our final time out here. Soapbox time about the length of college football. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Yeah, there was one summer this was the biggest song in the United States.
It's 2011.
That long ago?
Yeah, because I remember we always play this song at the pool.
Yeah.
It was like, I think me going into my freshman year of high school, this was
right.
This was the jam.
And they have a handful of other really good songs.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they got put on a circuit and had to play this song every freaking night in some club to just make as much as they could off that one song
as possible. Yeah, they've put out a couple more albums, and I saw them in Kansas City. But yeah, they make a lot of good music. So, but that was definitely their biggest hit. Yep. That will be the one that they will be remembered for.
Now I'm drawing a blank on
Foster the People.
Yeah, I knew it was The People something. Foster the People. So how were they? Were they good live?
They were really fun live.
Yeah.
It was at Power and Light. Power and Light, sometimes, I think the audio for some reason got messed up a few times, which was kind of a downer, but it was still a really good show. So I enjoyed it, and it was fun times.
Okay. Sporting KC in action tonight down in Houston, 7:30 kickoff. You can hear that live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati will be on the call, and then Dave Borchert will have the final whistle at approximately 9:30, also here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sporting really would like to get something happening because that game Wednesday night against LA Galaxy was awful. It was such a huge... For a team that has not played well this year because they've been decimated by injuries, they got such a pick-me-up and a little bit of a boost when they beat Seattle last weekend here at home, 3-2. Seattle's one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Sporting is down at the bottom. So, a confidence boost. You play a great team. You build a big lead. Yes, you have to hold on late to win, but you get the win. You get the 3 points. A little bit of relief, finally. And then Wednesday, stinkeroo against the LA Galaxy. By the way, that's the first time the Galaxy have won in Kansas City since 2007.
That's
12
wild.
Years.
That's a long time.
I couldn't believe it when I read it.
I'm very surprised by that because the Galaxy have usually been a very formidable side.
All the years with Landon Donovan. I mean, you'd think they would have won one here with David Beckham. Of course, when Beckham was here, I don't think he got to play at Sporting Park. I think he had to play at the T-Bones old stadium.
They're playing at Arrowhead.
Playing at Arrowhead. They did one at the T-Bones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I remember going to Wizards games out at Arrowhead all the time.
Oh, I did when I was a kid, yeah. But then they had those couple of years where they had to play at the T-Bones stadium. Maybe they moved one of those Beckham games to Arrowhead, but I remember him training out at T-Bones stadium. 2007. Oh, I just got the injury report for tonight. If you're wondering who's going to be available to play for Sporting, let's see. Questionable for tonight, Barath and Johnny Russell. Johnny Russell, as we mentioned earlier in the show, took that knee to the back of the leg, so he's questionable. Out for this one, Roger Espinoza, we know that. Jurso Fernandez, we knew that. Hurtado, Jalen Lindsey, and Rodney Wallace all out. But they do get Christian Namath back, which is super good news. So may not have, they were, I believe I was reading yesterday, I think Sam McDowell may have tweeted it out, that Sporting was going to take actually extra players down to Houston just because they didn't know who might be available. So like if Russell's going through pregame workouts and says, no, I can't go, they have to have somebody else who can be there because you have your 11 players on the field and your bench players makes 18 total and they barely have enough.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really thin on their substitution list in terms of who they can bring on. I hope that these nagging injuries will end. I hope Jurso Fernandez can come back at some point and play on that other wing alongside Johnny Russell on the other side and have Namath. That was when Sporting was hitting on all cylinders, when you saw it early in CONCACAF Champions League against the Toluca side, or Independiente. Jurso Fernandez and Johnny Russell and then Namath up top.
Phenomenal.
It was working so well. The chemistry was so good. And now it's been kind of hampered because of all of the, of course, change-up and injuries and even people having to leave for international responsibilities with Busio going with the U-17 national team for the United States. But hopefully, I mean, it's come to that point. I know it's a long season, but points aren't just going to come off trees here. You gotta start winning some,
maybe
consistently start winning games and adding to that point total.
Get one from the third base tree, find some points there. But yeah, this Houston rivalry is it's not what it used to be, which is fine. But this used to be a bitter rivalry because Sporting would go to the playoffs every year and Houston would knock them out, and Sporting would come back in the next regular season and they would be.
I remember going to a playoff game in 2010, I believe.
Yes,
and it was that was violent, heartbreaking. Man. That was heartbreaking seeing them lose that one.
And those teams didn't like each other at all. There were cheap shots. There were cheap slide, cheap tackles, and there's pushing
some
a lot of
Christian Namath studs up challenges.
Yes, on the regular. But I don't know. I have good memories thinking about the rivalry. Maybe it'll be rekindled tonight. Again, you can hear Sporting KC and Houston tonight at 7:30 here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Nate Bucchetti on the call. Dave Borchert with the final whistle immediately after the game. I want to thank all of our guests today. Thank you, Chris Bohlig, for setting up the show. My name is Brad Porter. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and visit us again Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.